from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Ryan Wilson's a friend of mine, and somebody brought it to my attention, because I can't catch everything my friends do on social media, my goodness gracious. And 12 hours ago, he released a mock draft 1.0, and they had the first round QBs, number one overall, Carson Beck to the Giants, Shedeur Sanders, number 8 overall to the New Orleans Saints. So good luck to Ryan Wilson ever getting an interview with Deion Sanders ever again. The Raiders would be taking Cam Ward from Miami at number 13. Connor Wegman, yeah, he would go to the Chargers from Texas A&M. And at number 17 ahead of that, because I wanted to do this for drama, Quinn Ewers goes to the Cleveland Browns from the Texas Longhorns.
Buckeyes legend.
You think you're leaving Ohio. We're going to find a way to bring you back, young man. Did he make more money at Ohio State or with the Cleveland Browns? We'll find out. With Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports, he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. First off, where do you get off? How do you do that?
I figured you needed something to talk about this morning. It wasn't even, I'll be honest, I wasn't thinking primarily about you and Browns fans.
It's odd because Will actually writes it in the articles that he writes that he's going to get texts from us after he writes these things.
I will admit, and this was more about sorting out where I think the players have an opportunity to go in terms of the draft range, not necessarily the teams. And the other big issue, and I'm sure you guys know this better than I do, so the salary cap implications for Deshaun Watson moving on from him are franchise setting back. It'll set you back your franchise if you're trying to move on from him or take that dead cap. But I understand that. But at some point, if things don't work out with Deshaun, you can't just sit on your hands. You have to have a plan B, and that was also sort of the thinking there. And you can argue certainly about the selection of the position and also the player if you don't like the player. But even you and your heart of hearts, Ken, I think would agree that if Deshaun – doesn't do something this year, you got to start asking some questions.
So, oh, definitely.
So what would Deshaun have to look like to start asking those questions to get to the point ultimately where the Browns could draft someone like Quinn Ewers? What would that have to be?
Ryan, this is Danny Cunningham in for Tone today. Go right on ahead there, Ryan.
Yeah, Mitch told me Danny was in. Good to talk to you, Danny. I think it would have to be a lot of the same of what we've seen since he arrived in Cleveland. The injuries are a concern, and you can't really blame the injuries as a reason to be upset with the way Deshaun's played. But when you're making that sort of money, you got to see something. And I don't think we've come close to scratching the surface on Deshaun Watson in his Houston Texans days. And I've always said I never knew if he was going to get back to that, but 75% would be nice, and we haven't seen it. And I think he has to get closer to that sort of level of performance as opposed to being replacement level. I mean, I think it's a huge indictment when Joe Flacco was the last quarterback in line to help get your team to the playoffs. I think he was there for the last month of the season and played well enough to get you to Houston. And, you can't tell the difference if you're watching on black and white television, whether that's your QB1 or your QB4. I think that's the problem. And can Deshaun return to form? I hope so, but we just haven't seen it, and that's why what sort of led me down this path. And I'll just let you in. I don't know if he told you, Danny, but Ken sent me a text, and I'm a little behind the curtains here. Ken said, "All right, heads up on your mentions," because he tweeted this out.
Yeah,
and I was pleasantly surprised, Ken, to find that a lot of Browns fans don't necessarily disagree with the idea of a play and B.
Yeah, I was actually brokenhearted by it. Honestly, Ryan, we're in a weird headspace here. I don't think there's been as much of a buy-in with the fans throughout the preseason that there have been in years past. And I look at the roster. Do you believe that this is a top-quality roster? And leave the quarterback out. Do you believe it's a top-quality roster in the NFL? Because it's going to take me to other questions.
Yeah, no, I do. I think you got to get healthy at tackle, and it sounds like I think Conklin's coming back. We'll see. You guys know better than me where Wills is. But defensively, lights out. We know what they did last year. I think offensively, they have a chance to be really good. I think Nick Chubb's on the PUP. Is that right? So he won't be back immediately. But I think you have the people, the skill position players to help you out. It's just the one glaring position that we have to keep talking about.
Yeah, and so that leads me to believe that I don't think that there's any more excuses. I think that this year, even if he gets hurt, it's like, okay, well, now he's just a broken quarterback of what he used to be. And if he can't perform this year, you're thinking, you know, we traded for Jerry Jeudy. We traded for Elijah Moore for you. Technically, we made the Amari Cooper trade with you in mind. We've paid through the nose for all these wide receivers. We have brought in an offensive coordinator. We've made a lot of moves here, and it still hasn't paid off. So that's why I'd have to think this year is definitely, most definitely, put up or shut up. But I don't think that they will. Like, if they don't make the playoffs, like, one of the questions is, gosh, would they choose between Stefanski and Deshaun Watson? I thought last year, without a doubt, they would choose Deshaun Watson. Nah, I'm thinking more they might pick the head coach.
Yeah, it's funny you're saying that, because as you were building to that point, I was having that exact same thought.
There you go.
I was thinking if Stefanski is going to look back and feel like he sort of not wasted these years, but had opportunities slip through his fingers if the current marriage stays together, so to speak. And I think, because Stefanski was fantastic in Minnesota, and, you know, I did this podcast with Rich Spielman, who speaks highly of Kevin, and he's done a lot under some trying circumstances, especially early in Cleveland. And I thought he had deserved Coach of the Year candidate several years. And last year, I thought Jim Schwartz deserved Assistant Coach of the Year, even though that's not of a war, because of what they were able to do defensively. And then, of course, the quarterback's carousel, and they still made the playoffs. There's a lot of reasons to be excited about the Browns, but again, if your best player isn't playing at his best, you're not going to get very far.
So what do you believe an acceptable outcome for this Browns season is?
Well, I mean, last year they won 11 games, Danny, and they went to the playoffs. You can't come back and win 9 games and feel like there's you're making progress, because you're going backwards, and 9 games probably doesn't get you in the playoffs. So I think you got to win double-digit games and get to the playoffs again. I'm not saying you have to win 2 or 3 or 4 playoff games, but you have to – double digits feels like a floor, and the quarterback has to play above average. And I think above average, B-minus, is a step in the right direction, because we haven't seen that, because he just hasn't been on the field.
Ryan Wilson joining us from CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Wilson CBS. When it comes to Myles Garrett, ESPN had him ranked 4th overall in their top 100 players. NFL Network, what was it, 5th, I think they had Myles Garrett in their top 100. Of course, that was done by the players. How dominant is Myles Garrett? I mean, I remember calling you and having to ask you, because the fans were fit to be tied, is he elite? Is he the best in the business at what he does?
Yeah. He is, and, you know, you can put the Boses in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There, and you know, if you're a Steelers fan, you can put TJ Watt in there.
Why? Well, yeah, let me ask a person who grew up on the other side of the steel curtain. What separates him from TJ Watt? Because when I say it, people just fart in my general direction over there and go, "Well, you're the Cleveland guy, and you're just trolling us." I'm like, no, I think he's better overall. But you know, you give me the answer.
He's bigger and he plays bigger, and I mean, it's one thing you can wait 275 or whatever he weighs and just say that, but he actually carries it like someone who knows how to use it. And I think he is equally as good getting after the quarterback as he is setting the edge and playing the run. And he's so incredibly disruptive, play in and play out, probably to a degree slightly better than TJ Watt. That's what I would say. TJ's battled injuries a little bit. When he's on the field, they win football games in Pittsburgh. But I think Myles Garrett is he was a guy that when you drafted, you felt okay about keeping your job. He was a layup, and he's been exactly who we thought he was for day one for me. I know you've talked about some of the ups and downs fans have had with him in Cleveland, and perhaps that's expectations. But on the outside looking in, you look at Myles Garrett and you go, that guy's a problem, and offenses have to account for him all the time and account for him with two guys, account for him with two guys and a chip or whatever you have to do to make sure he doesn't in the game for you. And I think that's what he brings. Now, look, you can have conversations about whether you really have a Bosa brother or whether you have a TJ Watt, but I think Myles Garrett, if you go around the league and ask guys, he's going to be one of the first names mentioned if you're building the defense.
You not only cover the draft, you cover the NFL as well, and I've taken a long time to get you to this, but is this the last year for Dak Prescott in Dallas?
I don't think so. I don't understand why Jerry Jones refuses to pay his players on time. He just costs himself money because the market keeps going up as he, you know, twiddles his thumbs, and that's what happened. $34 million sounds about right for CD, so maybe he got off on that one. He's going to have to pay Dak $50 million, and I think Trey Lance sort of convinced everyone that he's not going to be the cheap alternative to Dak should Dak decide to go elsewhere if Dak had a bad year last year, because Dak played well last year. I think the bigger concern here, I'll ask you guys a question. Who's there longer, Dak or Mike McCarthy?
Dak.
Dak. Yeah, exactly. I'm almost always going to take the quarterback in these situations. I think here in Cleveland is probably the outlier.
Well, Danny, I think we all heard rumors that he wanted to walk away after this year, Mike McCarthy.
Right. So I think Dak's going to get paid. He'll get paid his $50 million. Again, I would pay him sooner than later, but, you know, Jerry does things differently. He's a billionaire. I'm not. The other concern is they're going to have to pay Micah Parsons. So they're going to have three guys, two of them making 30-plus million, one making 50-plus million, and that's going to be – right now it's about 45% of the cap. It'll go down a little bit next year, but the point is that you're paying three guys more than a third of your salary cap, and they have the struggles they have. But I think Dak stays there, because if Dak doesn't stay there, he's going to get $55 million somewhere else.
What about Ja'Marr Chase, for that matter? What's he waiting on? What's Mike Brown waiting on?
Well, Mike Brown's not one to pay guys when early. He's made that clear. I think Joe Burrow's the only exception. I think Ja'Marr's back at practice. He you know, sat in the whole last month or whatever. And Joe Burrow said we only need a couple days to get back on the same page. You know, they played at LSU together, so on and so forth. So I think they're going to be fine. I think he just was making a point. The other thing is he's a year behind, or he came out a year later than CD and Justin Jefferson and those guys. So he wants to get paid now, and I understand that. But I suspect there'll be something that happens after the season. And the good news for him, he's going to ball out, and he'll end up making either Justin Jefferson money at $35 million a year, maybe something a little north of that. So that's the upside. He just has to, you know, knock on wood, stay healthy, because he's every bit that player and that important to Cincy, because they're going to move on from T. Higgins after the year anyway.
At what point do you think the wide receiver bubble bursts in terms with these contracts to where they sort of can become, I think, maybe some point down the road, what running backs have become, where you don't want to pay these guys because you can find them easily in the draft?
Yeah, Danny, I was having the same thought, because it used to be that you didn't necessarily have to pay. You certainly pay the wide receivers more than the running backs, but it wasn't the case where they were getting game-changing money, and they even had leverage in the sense, at least, that Brandon Ayuk has the 49ers over a barrel. It feels like CD sort of forced everything, and eventually that maybe it takes 4, 5, 6 years, and I just say that because as these wide receivers continue to make their way from high school to college, where passing game has become more and more important, that it gets watered down in sort of the sense that we've seen with the running backs, where you can use them running back by committee. But again, there's a difference between having an Adrian Peterson or even a Nick Chubb, if we're going to bring it more recently, how important he was to what they did, and then having someone like Justin Jefferson or a Ja'Marr Chase, who absolutely dominates and takes over games, and maybe they are worth that 30-plus million a year. The other thing to keep in mind is that the salary cap keeps going up, so that makes it a little easier for these agents to convince these owners that maybe they should pay these wide receivers that much money.
Is Brandon Ayuk ever going to get traded to Pittsburgh, or is he going to stay in San Fran?
It feels like when your high school girlfriend convinces you when you're back in college that you're going to get back together, and then she never shows up. Like they keep waiting for her to come back home, and she's like, you know what, I will, and she's just waiting for the offer to be perfect. And it feels like Brandon Ayuk got too far over his skis. He thought he had San Fran where he wanted, and this is just me speculating, and San Fran got 95% of the way there, and that last 5% just sort of left him in limbo. I don't understand, if I'm Brandon Ayuk, you're not getting Justin Jefferson money, you're not getting Ja'Marr, or you're not getting CeeDee money, and you're in a great situation. Just stay where you are. Do you really want to catch passes from Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields, even if that means you make an extra $2 million a year?
He doesn't. I think that's what kind of scared him off, is that you see this quarterback play, and he might want to be with Mike Tomlin. He might want to be in Pittsburgh, but you see some of that, and I think it scares you off. I heard the rumors about him and Deshaun, and the worry. Well, if that quarterback situation worries him, which I don't know is necessarily true on either team, but I'm thinking, okay, if that quarterback situation scares him, then it's got to be downright terrifying in Pittsburgh. And then they don't want George Pickens back, because George Pickens is George Pickens. You think that George Pickens is going to be okay with a guy next to him making $35 million, and he's still, what, on his rookie deal? No.
Yeah, and that doesn't solve any problems for Pittsburgh, because they need two wide receivers, and they would still only have just one in Brandon Ayuk, who, to your point, would probably not be happy catching short hops from whoever the quarterback happened to be in Pittsburgh.
It's a tough deal, but it is true. Find him on Twitter, at Ryan Wilson CBS. If you agree with him, which a lot more people did than I thought, go ahead and let him know. He has the Browns taking Quinn Ewers in the first round next year. Ryan, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.